6:01, I'd like to bring the...
Do we have a quorum?
Yes.
Yep.
The January 31st Economic Development Planning Education Employment Arts and Agricultural Committee to order. Would you please call the roll?
Brian Cahill. Not here. Herb Litz.
Here.
Thomas Corcoran.
Here.
Peter Criswell. Chris Hewitt. Joe Maloney.
Present.
Megan Sperry.
Here.
We have 4 out of 7. We have a quorum. Can we all stand for the pledge, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated. Next thing up on the agenda is the approval of the December 6th minutes. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I will abstain. I was not here. Okay, we'll start right in with resolutions. Resolution number 10, reappointing legislative members to the Soil and Water Conservation District Board. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passed. Resolution 26, approving the execution of a contract for $290,000 into by the county SEI Design Group Architects for the Ulster County Community College. Is there anyone from the college here?
Hello.
Would you like to fill us in a little bit?
Sure. So this is a contract for our water plant. So we did our water line. This will connect into our water plant. This is the initial design phase, and then we'll come back for construction after we have design specs.
Okay, thank you for the explanation. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passed. Resolution 27. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an intermunicipal agreement with various municipalities for the operation of the Summer Youth Employment Program, Gun Violence Prevention Initiative, and Young Adult Employment Program, Office of Employment and Training. Do I have a motion?
Motion. Wait, we already discussed?
You got to have a motion first.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? The floor is yours.
Good evening. So this is an annual agreement that we have with various municipalities in the county to be work sites for our summer youth employment program, our gun violence prevention program, and our young adult employment program. It's separate and above the normal work site agreements that we have with different employers.
Very good. Hopefully it'll extend into the southern part of the county and the northern part of the county, because it seems like we don't have much in the way of youth in those programs there. I would suggest that for this program, as well as the regular program, you reach out to the high school counseling department on all the high schools around the county and see if we can get some more youth into the program.
Thank you for bringing that up. We actually do have an arrangement with most of the high schools. Some relationships are better with others in terms of information actually getting down to the students, and a few of the issues that we have with students actually joining the program, they must be income eligible, so mm-hmm. they must be a family under the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, TANF, mm-hmm. Regulation. They must have below 200% poverty. The young person must be on SSI. We have a lot of criteria from the state for income eligibility, so we can't always provide an employment opportunity for every young person. So we try to balance that. And see if there's another program that we can put a young person in if they don't qualify for summer youth employment or have the employment barriers for the other programs that we have. And then one of our issues is always transportation. Getting that young person from wherever they live to wherever they're working, we try to keep our young people local so they don't have to worry about transportation, but that becomes an issue. So we are definitely putting in more initiatives to make sure we get as many from a location in the pool and hoping that those in the pool are eligible.
Good. And now that UCAT is free, they can get around the county
hopefully.
Even better.
We're hoping.
And I would suggest that maybe you could put on a webinar for the counselors in the high schools so everybody's aware of it, because I don't think the counselors in Highland High School know too much about this program.
I will be honest with you, they did not respond very well last year, but we are already on it for this year. There's a new administrative assistant in the office who has gotten us appointments with all of the people that we should be with. The principal, the guidance counselors. So we will have online presence, but we want to do face-to-face as well. So the team is ready to actually go out into the high schools and sort of make our presence known. We have new flyers, new things. 2023, we're all new.
Excellent. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution passes.
Thank you all for your support. As I mentioned,
you're welcome.
When I came in,
your Boy Scouts are awaiting.
My Boy Scouts are awaiting. I'm going to skedaddle. Thank you all.
Take
so
care.
Much.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for the explanation. Thanks for the work. And I hope we really push this program.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Take care. Resolution 28, approving the execution of a contract of $62,060. Entered into by the County Community Planning and Environmental Associates Department of Planning. Dennis.
Amanda.
Oh, wait a minute. A motion, please.
I said motion.
Motion. Second.
Second.
No, he moved it.
I made a
you
silent
motioned?
Motion. We made
yes.
Opposite.
Yes, he did.
You're taking my motion.
You could second.
I second it.
Megan, you got to be quicker.
You're out.
Okay, we got a motion and a second.
Slow
discussion.
You
Dennis.
I quit.
Amanda.
Sure. This is this project, this contract is for the consultant that has been selected to do the update to the Ag Farmland Protection Plan for the county.
Do we know who that is?
Yes, it's Community and Environment.
Oh, okay. That's the name of the firm? Okay.
Yeah, that's the name of the firm. There is a $50,000 grant from New York State Ag and Markets with a 50% match from the county. So that will come in the remainder of the $12,500 to take it from of the expense for that contract, as well as staff time will make up the match. For that grant.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any questions? If not,
motion. Oh, no.
We already made the motion.
Right.
If there's no questions, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes. Resolution number 29, appointing a member to the Ulster County Planning Board, City of Kingston. Have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain. Passes. Resolution number 30, reappointing a member and appointing an alternate to the Ulster County Planning Board, Town of East Sopus. Motion.
Motion.
Second. Discussion.
With the committee's permission, I'd like to suggest that we remove the alternate member and list it as vacant in the resolution. The individual that was being appointed by the Town of East Sopus for the alternate is very ill. So he won't be able to serve as an alternate, Mr. Zimmer. So the town has called us and requested.
Oh, Freddie? Freddie's not doing well?
Really? So I guess he's under some duress. So they've asked us to list it as vacant, and they'll come back with another member in the future.
So do we need to amend
that? Okay, so we'll Okay.
Need a motion to amend.
You're going to make the motion.
Make a motion to amend. And that amendment will be to list the alternate as vacant. Everybody approve
a
motion
second.
To do that?
Joe made a motion, I think.
Yep.
I'll make the motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to accept the resolution as amended.
Motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstention? Sorry if I'm going too fast. Resolution 31. Reappointing a member and an alternate to the Ulster County Planning Board, Village of New Paltz. Any amendments necessary for this? I'll accept the motion.
Motion.
Second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution passed. Resolution number 32, reappointing a member and an alternate to the Ulster County Planning Board, Town of Rosendale. A motion, please.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution passes. Resolution number 33, reappointing a member to the Ulster County Planning Board, Village of Saugerties. Motion, please.
Motion.
No, he beat you.
Okay.
You can be a second.
No, God.
Any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstention? Motion carries. Resolution 34, amending the 2023-2028 Capital Improvement Program, amending capital project number 334, Kingston Rail Trail, PIN number 8758.04, to provide funding for construction, and amending the 2023 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Planning. Motion, please.
Motion.
Second.
Second. Discussion.
This is a 1.8-mile trail that begins in Washington Avenue in the city of Kingston and ends at Route 209 in the town of Hurley.
This is the old O&W?
It's the old O&W.
Okay.
We have now acquired the right-of-way needed for the construction of the trail. One of the reasons this was delayed so long is we had to go through, begin an eminent domain proceeding, and now we've come to an agreement on that with respect to that section of the trail that was owned by a nonprofit affordable housing developer that wanted cross easements from us.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
We've secured a lot of funding for this. There's money in here from the state, money in here from the feds, and the cost increases were significant over the course of time. We increased the federal and state funding for the project in September for $600,000. The bids that came in were $600,000 over that increase.
Wow.
And that gives you a sense in terms of what some of the construction costs are. We had a lot of bidders here, so it wasn't an issue with respect to the bidders in terms of the number of bidders we had, and the difference between on the base bid, the difference between the low bidder and the next bidder was about $1,000, and then it widens out when we did the alternate. One of the alternates was essentially a heavy-duty pavement because part of this actually runs under the Central Hudson power lines, and in order for them to get their trucks on us, we had to do a heavy-duty pavement alternate for that portion of the trail.
Were we also entered into some agreement with Central Hudson about their right-of-way also?
Yes, we did. Just a while back, they needed a right-of-way. That was over the UND corridor. They needed a right-of-way to extend their right-of-way to allow them to essentially cut some brush and right-of-way. They didn't have all
O&W
the
goes
rights.
Through their property also, doesn't it?
It does. We're actually on their property once we go past the throughway. we're actually on their property, and we have obtained their easements from them. They donated the easements for us.
Okay.
So we actually ended up with an agreement. We didn't end up.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the domain.
Yeah.
Hey, we ended up.
Yeah, we negotiated for a number of years, but I think we were fortunate that we were able to essentially come to an agreement. And the last time, just recently, the legislature granted crossing rights to the company. So for the affordable housing project, I think it was early in December, we granted crossing rights. And the city of Kingston has now approved the project.
Great. Okay, thank you. We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
You're opposed?
Yep.
Okay. So there's one opposition. Any abstentions? Okay, it passes. Resolution number 36. Approving the execution of a contract for $3,060,930.75 entered into by the County Errol Construction Company, Inc., Department of Public Works.
This is the contract for 34.
Yep. I need a motion.
Motion.
I need a second. We have a second. Discussion.
Is this payment for the whole section or just the heavy duty part?
No. This is the base bid plus the alternate. So this will complete the trail from as described from the Washington Avenue to Route 209.
Okay. Any questions? Hearing none. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? One. Opposed.
This is.
This is the O&W rail trail.
The 36 is 434.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I'm a no because I'm not convinced that our rail trails need to be coated with petroleum.
Oh, okay. All right.
Different reasons, but.
You're a no?
I'm a no.
Then it's defeated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that defeated?
Excuse me?
Is it defeated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we only have a quorum of four, and there's two no's.
Five now.
Or five?
I think it passes.
It passes.
Yes, I had marked down that we only had four.
I came in late.
Oh, okay. Okay. It passes. 3-2. Sorry about that. Okay. Resolution 37, authorizing the Department of Planning to submit an application to the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, NYSERDA, for financial and technical assistance in designing and construction of energy-efficient and renewable energy equipment at the proposed Government Operations Center, Department of Planning. Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? No discussion? Hearing?
Does anyone want to just give us a basic rundown?
Sure. Go ahead.
This resolution would be approving an application to NYSERDA to enter into their energy efficiency programs and be evaluated by NYSERDA for what either funding or technical assistance they could give to the Government Operations Center. And meeting one of the specific program opportunity notices, the PONs, but it's a general application where NYSERDA then evaluates which ones fit for the project, and then it would result in, if awarded, an additional resolution coming back to you to execute the actual grant agreement with NYSERDA for the assistance. This is just for the application.
Does this have a, now I heard we've recently decided not to go with gas powered or traditional backup power at the 911 center. Is this in any way going to be related to that?
So this would be, this would unlock the assistance from NYSERDA to look for both the engineering support and potentially financial assistance to be carbon neutral ready or do as much on-site renewable, step away from fossil fuels as much as practicable for that facility.
If this doesn't go through and we've now canceled the backup the way it was set up.
We haven't canceled anything.
Yeah, my understanding is I don't know where you've got that information.
I've heard recently that we're not going to be, that we've kind of begun talking about not having what the original specs had there as far as backup power. Do you know anything of what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I can tell you that we're in the process of going through the ability to essentially provide alternate power sources for the facility right now. And to the best of my knowledge, there's been no change that we will basically look at two sources of power from the substation and a backup generator.
There will be fossil fuel backup?
My understanding is that as of now, and unless we're currently going through all of the work, but my understanding is that there absolutely will be a need for a backup generator. And we've actually seen some designs that look at the type of generator and how we're going to essentially shield it from the building and from the adjoining neighbors.
And it's fossil fuel.
Yes.
Okay. So the one thing I do want to add into there is that's going to be kind of a third source in terms of a step down from battery storage. Battery storage can only store so much. If you're out 7 days and you're off grid, if we have enough solar, then we can keep regenerating into the battery storage.
Oh, so that's what I've heard, that we've just moved it down the line. It won't be the first thing.
It's not first in line.
It will
be that's
there.
The idea. Okay. And some of the, we're gonna look at zinc 8 because their batteries are supposed to be container sized and for this purpose, but it's making sure that the technology lines up with when we're ready to install it. And then currently we're understanding the electrical load that's gonna come from this. And that's part of the analysis, is how much are we gonna need to keep everything going.
All right.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Any other questions? All those in affirmative?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
One opposed? Any abstentions? Oh, wait a minute. This is 37?
Yeah.
I abstain.
For the purposes of employment?
Yes. Resolution 38, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute a development agreement with the AC Power Development Company, LLC, for the development of a solar array at the Hertel landfill, a foreclosure eligible parcel, Department of Planning.
Motion.
Second.
Discussion.
Okay. Take this one. This is the Hertel landfill is one of several dozen properties for which the county has not finalized foreclosure proceedings, even though these properties have been eligible, some for many, many years. The Hertel landfill is in Plattekill. It's a closed and capped landfill that was active through the 60s and 70s and took a lot of auto waste. So it is a US EPA Superfund.
Yeah, it was
site.
A federal Superfund site.
It's a federal site.
Yeah.
However, it has a leachate collection system and has been stable for many years. And it has been on the foreclosure eligible list since 1987 for the county. This project is kind of in line with and coming along with our effort on foreclosure eligible brownfields, which has an ARPA capital project associated with this, but this is slightly different because in this for this particular parcel, closed landfills can actually be very, very suitable sites for solar arrays. And so the county went out with a request for statement of qualifications for companies experienced in solar arrays on Superfund landfills that would be willing to work with the county to assure, to as we get the necessary assurances from EPA that we can foreclose on this property, and with the intent of a property transfer and a solar development project on the site.
So the county will own the property when everything's said and done?
When everything is said and done, the property will be transferred to AC Power. One of the intents of this project is that the county will not retain ownership of the Superfund landfill. We would like to see something beneficial for the community and for the county done with it, but we do not necessarily want to have the long-term property ownership for that landfill.
Any other questions?
Can you tell me where that is?
Sure. It's in off of Route 4455 in Plattekill.
It's actually Clintondale. But
oh, okay.
It's the Plattekill side of Clintondale.
You're coming.
Straight on the hill, coming down.
Yes. The, yeah, and there, this is to authorize the chair to execute the development agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not the purchase and sale agreement, but it is the necessary to show our commitment to the project and also to allow the developer or the county, as the case may be, to apply for preliminary studies and interconnection studies, which are a very necessary part of going through the process of figuring out exactly how much a solar project will cost.
Hmm.
Because a lot of times those interconnection costs can, in some cases, make or break a project. So we want to be able to submit our applications to Central Hudson to get this evaluated, to, if this is at all feasible, move it forward. And this development agreement kind of is the first step in that process.
There's probably only a couple of companies that really do this kind of thing. How did we end up with
AC Power? Sure. So we wrote a request for statement of qualifications. We publish it like we do many different types, and that also gets picked up. We use the NYSERDA list. We had 7 responses, so that's a pretty good showing.
Yeah.
For companies that were willing to come and talk about solar on a Superfund landfill. AC Power was the only company that came in outright and said, we want to own the site. We don't necessarily want the county to retain ownership over time.
And
they're
going to
pay all
the taxes. Was that in when we put out qualifications, did we put in that
yes.
we prefer? And 6 out of the 7, even though we put it in that we prefer not to own, all said, well, we prefer you to keep ownership? Oh, interesting. Did you have anything else?
Oh, I was just going to add that they were also the only firm that definitively said, we will pay the back taxes.
Ooh,
on the
I like that.
So that's important. There are also some EPA liens on the property. We're in the process of figuring out exactly what the dollar figure is on that. But what typically happens is that those proceeds are kind of split between what's owed to the county and what the EPA liens. And even if the EPA lien exceeded that amount, the county wouldn't have to pay the EPA. It would just be a percentage of the proceeds.
Any discussion with... This may be, there may be legal things involved in this, but I know they probably won't really have to pay too many taxes because the state gives basically them an upfront that we're always seeing those come across.
Sure.
Is there any way to get a company when we're giving them the property, even though this is what they do, but there's 7 companies, which means there's a
right.
profit here.
Right.
Is there any way to get a company to agree to pay a little more than what they're paying in taxes if we go do the deal with them?
Yep. It's,
it'd be great for
it's
the county
a,
and the town.
At this point in the, because so much of the financials of the project depend on the interconnection costs and the actual, when they look at the actual footprint of the solar installation and how much electricity that will generate and what kind of program they're going to use with NYSERDA in order to sell the electricity, that they don't know with enough confidence those dollar amounts now to say anything about the pilot. So It is kind of, at that point, we will have to evaluate that. We'll know what the interconnection costs are, and we will have to negotiate with them about the pilot. But these were the folks who were willing to say, we'll start off with making good on the back taxes.
Thank you. One last question. Is there any way to know where the power, where this electricity produced here, where it's going?
It goes to meet the demand of the local grid. So it will, I mean, as far as the electrons or
yes.
The, so no, that goes into the grid. There'll be some amount because we'll have to look at, part of the interconnection study is looking at the substation, kind of looking at the loads. So they will be able to kind of gauge that from the geography, but there's not like an ultimately very, very precise way to do that.
Yeah, I don't know a lot
do
about it.
Do we have the ability to get a share of ours, though?
Oh, but so there's the electrons, and then there's the kind of green energy, and it will be possible for the county to be an anchor customer for the town,
mm-hmm.
local municipalities, you know, looking at how we can use this to help low and moderate income folks with their utility bills. There's a lot of opportunities that we've discussed with the developer.
What should they assess that?
Oh, and they, no.
When Nick's aunt built two solar arrays in the town of Rochester, there was a 3-month period where the town of Rochester residents could sign up before anyone else.
All right.
We're doing right now in Marlboro. We're putting in our landfill right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
There was, I forgot one point, if
okay.
I may.
Okay, sure.
There was a comment today from the county attorney. There's the one resolved, the first resolve that's gives the chair of the legislature the authority to execute the development agreement. There was some concern from the county attorney about some of the time frames with the utility agreements in particular and having signature on those. And so I'm wondering if it would be possible to have the county attorney talk to legislative council about adding the executive as some kind of signatory for certain documents.
We figured it was something that Clint and Chris could discuss to see about appropriateness. It doesn't change the nature of what's in the agreement.
Does it
though.
Change what we're voting on right now?
Mm-hmm. You could put an amendment in that says, or the county executive tonight, and that would smooth it through.
No, mm-hmm. not without our word.
No, this is
I think we can, we can hold for the conversation. We just didn't want it.
We can amend it in later. I don't think that's a substantive change. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just on the resolution.
To be transparent about the conversation.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes.
This might be a record.
Okay. Last but not least, resolution number 42. Approving the execution of a contract for $400,000 entered into by the county with RUPCO Incorporated, Department of Finance, ARPA funding. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
We have a motion, we have a second. Discussion.
So I can take some of it and then Nate can explain the intricacies of the contract. I mean, if you recall, this was part of an original $500,000 ask for a pilot program for energy deep energy retrofits combined with a job training program. We split it into two. You provided ARPA funding for our Citizens for Local Power, which I believe are now Communities for Local Power. I think they finally made the change. And that funding was for some of the administrative work that's ongoing. I think it was $30,000 a year over 3 years for their administrative work. They are on board with respect to the work that needs to get done to bring the drop training program in here. And then the $400,000 is literally the portion of the direct recipient to the homeowners, and they would be low and moderate income homeowners with respect to that. And then the choice of the vendor is a subrecipient choice because of the fact that we have an $800,000 CDBG program that's being run by RUPCO, and portions of that those individuals that are in that program could be used to essentially do deep energy retrofits, and also some of the CDBG money may be eligible to be used to combine with this program to also do deep energy retrofits. So that's how we arrived at the vendor. That's how we arrived at the amount that's here. And then this is literally a pilot program. And so there is a number of things that we're going to do, particularly with respect to monitoring. So one of the things that's in here is to make sure that we have the ability to monitor these, so we know what the energy savings are, and we know whether or not we can move this forward in a little bit different fashion moving forward, particularly with the use of private funds with a smaller amount of public money in order to get this done. So it sets us up for a future funding, and it sets us up for a future way to do business with respect to providing these energy retrofits.
When you say private funds, what do you mean?
The thought being is that there's other programs that are being looked at with respect to using low interest money from banks. You take a look at the low interest funds from banks, the availability of essentially to save money on the energy costs, and you combine that with the seed money from public money, and you get much more bang for your buck. So instead of spending a lot of money here with respect to this, the private sector steps in and provides low interest loans with respect to doing this. Does that help, I think, understand what we're trying to do?
Mm-hmm. But it's just low interest loans. It's not like private grants.
No. Think of this as what happens with respect to solar facilities, where essentially you sign up for solar and they guarantee you save 10%. So if you sign up for this and you think about it, then you can talk to the homeowner and say, you can take out the loan and we'll make sure that your payments on the loan are less than the money you save on energy reduction, energy cost of energy.
And when you're talking about, you said you were going to, over how long would you be looking to see?
The monitoring program, mm-hmm. One of the nicest things about this is that the BPI contractors that are coming in, and Nate, correct me here. Nate's done the bulk of the work on this. The BPI contracts come in, they actually do energy estimates. So we'll have energy estimates when they finish the work from the BPI contractors, and then we'll be able to essentially, we don't have a monitoring timeline in there, do we?
Yeah, no, so, so we wanted to have this program run with a standard in place, and the Building Performance Institute has been around decades, I think, at this point, and they have a certification program where there would be a certified contractor that would come in. They would do legislators may be familiar with the blower door test. So they would depressurize the home. There is a very specific target of depressurization they would hit, and the whole idea of this testing process is that they know how drafty the home is and they identify where the air leaks are in the home. The idea being that cold air seeping into the home in the winter or warm air seeping in the summer is where you're losing tons of your energy. Mm-hmm. So, and one of the nice things about the home ownership or the residential BPI process, I guess, is that they would come in, they do the depressurization, they would identify costs. Based on energy saved, they would do like a cost-benefit analysis on, you know, based on whether it's changing out CFLs or fixing leaks in the basement or the attic and how much it costs to fix those things. They could create a schedule of, you know, the biggest bang for your buck, essentially, and they could prioritize things and then do those things, test again, hopefully get a much different number, and have a standard to show improvements. There's some other things that I think are beneficial that go along with the BPI program, so I put those in as well. So they are going to be doing testing for safety on vented appliances just to make sure that there's no carbon monoxide issues or anything like that in the home, because particularly when you tighten a home and you don't have correct draft on your existing appliances, there could be an issue there. I'm sure they're also going to look at, you know, replacement of appliances if that's going to be applicable, and that's going to be a cost benefit. And then we specifically, Dennis and I worked a bit on this, and I think it was one of your requests to put in that the, because it can get a bit technical with what BPI does, that it would be converted to a cost savings for the homeowner. So we would have an actual like dollar figure to kind of show as well.
And it's different firms doing the testing and then doing the actual construction, right?
So I'm not because I don't think so in this case.
There are BPI contractors.
Yeah, because
I'd prefer it to be two different companies for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and there was some discussion.
Throw them a ton of money, and then at the end, we're asking them to go, yeah,
usually,
we did do a good job. Here's the difference.
I called NYSERDA, and they sent somebody to my house to do the green.
The initial energy audit, yeah.
And then he was just like, these are the things you can do, and I can recommend people, but he was not in the business of, like.
Yeah.
But in this case, we have the same company.
We don't know that. We can check that for you.
Could we
That's probably best.
Legislation and mandate it.
I don't know whether I want to mandate it, because there may not be that many BPI contractors out here, testers out here. So, but we can check to make sure that how that would work.
Workforce development.
And then the last thing I just want to add is for very low income individuals, there is a New York State program called Empower, and so we'll tap that funding if the homeowner is eligible, and use it to leverage this funding or instead of this fund.
And there is a training component, so that company comes in and trains. Is that going to be linked with BOCES?
We don't think so, and the reason for that is that the interns are actually coming through the Communities for Local Power. We've had a conversation with BOCES, and if BOCES is willing to make interns available and the contractors are willing to work with them, then the answer would be yes. But
I
at
hope
this
so.
Point in time, the internships will come through the Communities for Local Power.
Because they're getting paid to train people, and I mean, be nice to train people right here in our own community. Chris, did you have a question?
Yes, I'm wondering, given the executive's commitment to the environment and energy, why would the money come from ARPA instead of something like the fund balance or other parts of the budget?
I think mainly the reason for this is because it's a pilot program. And so the answer would be is that once it gets up and running on a pilot program, depending upon what we find, we may be back looking at other sources of funding. And that they may actually come out of the state, because the state is releasing all kinds of dollars and amounts with respect to energy efficiency and residential housing. Residential, I guess.
Okay. Chris?
The appropriation was from last year. The project was approved in the previous administration.
This ARPA funding?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
With the one last one, with regards to the banks giving the low interest loans, do we offer some kind of guarantee? What happens if the loans aren't paid? Is this just nice of these local banks to do this, or are we giving them some kind of guarantee, or we have skin in the game as far as guaranteeing the payment, that's why they're willing to do the low interest loan? I'm just wondering about that.
Well, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. I think that's in the future, that conversation with the banks, depending upon what the pilot shows. I will tell you that in other communities, particularly in Tompkins County and Ithaca area, this program is running on some private sector, on some private philanthropy that came in and bank work that comes in. We have not made that outreach to the banks yet.
Okay. Joe, you said you would like to see an amendment?
Well, I would just like to know, I'd like us to guarantee that there's at least two firms involved, that we don't have the same firm coming in, doing the test, saying this is what needs to be done, and then also saying at the end whether they were successful or not.
Okay, but wouldn't part of the monitoring program oversee that, you know, they did the test, they did the work, they retested, and what the numbers are?
Yeah, I mean, that's there's you could always say that somebody that's hired to do something and then somebody else that comes in to say whether they were successful or not, you could always say, well, we're always going to get their honest. I just think, and you get better work from people when you know someone else is going to be looking over their shoulder.
Right, but I mean, it's similar to, you know, you get a building permit, you build something, and the building inspector comes out and he inspects it and he approves it or disapproves it. Wouldn't a monitoring group?
Well, I was under the impression that they were saying that it's going to be the same firm. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's an example of what I would like to see the process be, is what you're describing. But what I thought we were doing is we were hiring the building inspector to do the work and then to inspect it. But if you're telling me that there is multiple companies involved, then I misunderstood.
Well, I don't think it's multiple companies. I think the company comes in, they do an assessment. Yep. Say, okay, you need a new window here, you need a draft over here, or whatever. They do the work. They re-perform the test. But then the monitor checks to make sure that
the work that they did,
the work was done, and the retest is proper.
If that's true, so, then I'm so misunderstanding. Yes. I asked the company that's doing the original test, whatever the pressure test, is then going to do the work and then going to do another pressure test. I was under the impression that the question I answered was answered, that it was one company doing everything.
Doing both tests, because they have that equipment to do, but the inspector, monitor, whatever you want to call them, is the guy that's going
to
be there and double-check that
this is
what they have.
If there's going to be an inspector, a monitor there when they do the first test and the second test, then that I think that there is a level of oversight there.
So let me just bring your attention to, and I think this is as clear as it gets, and maybe we can work on the language, but there is, it's paragraph 28, programs, housing, retrofit services on page 16, and it's paragraph B, where the subrecipient, who is REPCO, will provide three or more BPI certified contractors for the homeowner to select from and to perform the BPI energy audit and project estimate. One of the roles the subrecipient is going to take on is they're going to prepare an in-house cost estimate to compare with the selected contractor estimate for cost appropriateness. So they're going to ensure that all awards are within 15% of the subrecipient in-house cost estimate. I think this is set up at this point for one BPI contractor, where there'll be three or more presented to the homeowner.
So we know there's four contractors out there. Why wouldn't we have one contractor do the original study, the work, and then have one of the other three contractors, the two left over, do
I think
the second test.
There is,
and
we
check
we
the
can
work
look at that again and discuss it with the subrecipient.
Well, that's where the amendment would come in, that it would change this a little bit of the structure.
The only thing is, I would much rather see someone inspect the work, because this contractor is going to bring in $500,000 piece of equipment to depressurize the house.
Well, there will be town inspections no matter what, wouldn't there, Tom?
Yeah.
They've taken it out of our hands.
Right.
Now. It's strictly third party when it comes to the blower door test.
So he mobilizes this equipment, and there's $20,000, $30,000 cost to do this and depressurize the house. Then he comes up with his estimate, he does the work, and then we're going to hire another guy to charge us another $20,000 to bring his equipment over and depressurize the house so we get a passing grade. I think I'd much rather see this guy brings his equipment, does his assessment, gives the estimate, whatever it is, does the work, redoes the test, but we should be checking that, because the remobilization and bringing that equipment in is going to drive the cost up, because with two different contractors, two different mobilizations, two different pieces of equipment.
I don't know. I haven't had it done in my house. I don't know what the equipment looks like, but
computer, fans. Usually, they'll come in and do the test, and if it doesn't pass, they identify the problem. But again, the computer doesn't lie in the end.
Do they leave all the fans there and all that while they're doing all the construction work? So there wouldn't be much of a cost to bring a second one for the end, and transparency costs a couple of pennies sometimes. I'll be a no unless we're gonna have some have a different look there. It's just, I would never do that with my own home. I don't, mm-hmm. Towns don't do that with work and inspections. You know, there should be some checks and balances here.
Nate had something to say.
I just wanted to provide more background. We had some discussions with RUPCO, and I just wanted to bring in, there was a lot of discussion about just feasibility of the program, given all the different reporting and documentation, and also the BPI program, and the fact that one contractor who comes in and does the testing that doesn't always want to, or only wants to, maybe for a fee, share the results of their test with another contractor. So in kind of creating the design, we did it in some discussions with RUPCO and with the subrecipient to try to just make it all feasible. And that's one reason that's led us to this result, just to provide that background.
Yeah, I would add to that. I think the concern is valid, because you don't have the same person check the work as did the work if you can avoid it. On the other hand, I think that these companies to do this work are not in large supply. And so I think that you can build in a roadblock to getting the program actually moving along. I recently tried to obtain this and couldn't find anybody within a fairly large radius that could actually do the work and would come and do it. So I think it is a balancing of the need to have the work done and, you know, within the structures that the contractors normally work and feel confident in it. And I thought I heard Legislator Corcoran saying, because there's a computer system and a way of setting it up that's very standardized, that the risk of an erroneous test or a fake test is small. And each person has to balance that how they will. I think the proof is that most of these houses get better after you do the work. So the monitoring is partly to prove to the program that the work has been successful. Because if it's not successful, the people will be complaining that they're still cold or that they're still paying high costs.
But we've already paid them.
Pardon me?
But we've already paid the contractor.
But that is a point.
And the logistics of this is handled by RUPCO. We're giving them the $400,000. This is what they tell us they're going to do with it.
No.
Are we on the bid process?
It's a reimbursement program. So the short answer is this is modeled after what we do with the Community Development Block Grant Fund, which essentially, that's why there's quotes in here that are out there. They get to choose a contractor. RUPCO actually lays the money out and then comes to us for reimbursement.
So they hire the contractor.
That's correct. The contractor is actually, it's a contract between the homeowner and the contractor, and then RUPCO pays the contractor. So there's a difference. So the homeowner has to be satisfied.
I'm just saying, from a governmental standpoint, we're taking tax dollars, we're giving it to a not-for-profit with no real oversight, trusting them, and then they're choosing one entity to do all these things, and we're just trusting them all with tax dollars with no real ability to.
That's not quite right. I understand your concern, but I think the key is that, you know, they'll work with a whoever meets the requirements in terms of a BPI contractor. So it's not one contractor.
Is there an acceptable list?
Of course there is. They're certified. Of course there is. You know, and then what ends up happening is then there's an estimate that comes out from that, and then that estimate gets approved by RUPCO, and then the contract gets executed between RUPCO and the contractor, and then generally what ends up happening in our CDBG program, that gets reviewed again if there's a change more than 5% from the estimate. That's what happens, and RUPCO currently works outside of energy. RUPCO currently works with about 80 different contractors. Right now. So, and they've handled for the county, they're currently handling an $800,000 Community Development Block Grant Rehab Program right now. And probably over the last 10 years, they've handled twice as that. And then we audit them on our end, go in and examine their books and look at them. And then the state comes down and audits them and us to make sure all the paperwork is there. So there's a lot of checks and balances here.
So the certification you speak about, is that like a state certification? Is it a licensing process or?
I went through it at one point. I'm no longer certified, and it was too long ago, probably.
Who granted your certification?
Building Performance Institute. So it was a private certification, but it's
so it's a private certification. It's not by the state of New York or?
No, it's not a licensing issue. Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, if you have a state license and you do something that turns out to be not proper, you lose your certification, you lose your right to do business in the state. With a private certification, I'm not sure what the ramifications are.
Same thing. You still lose that certification. So I require the certification to do the test in simple forms. Gentleman comes in, he does the blower door test. It's at a 15, which is an air exchange, because they depressurize the house, they do an air exchange. It's 15. He walks around the house, he checks it out, he does some infrared, he figures out where those spots are, he fixes those spots, insulation, whatever he has to do. Then he comes back with that same test and does it again and tries to bring that 15 lower. Right now, acceptable on new houses, 3 air exchanges. It's a 3, which is very low. It's a tight house. So he tries to take that 15 and bring it down to an acceptable number. Is he going to get to 3 on an old house? Probably not, but he's going to bring 15 down to 6, 7, 8, wherever that number might fall. So you'll see the advantage of what he did from the 15 to the 8 to tighten the house up to give it more energy efficiency. The computer's not going to lie on that. So again, the guy who comes in, figures out where that problem is, fixes his problem, goes to the computer, does the air exchange, it spits out the report. The report says we had a 15, we now have a 7, and that's the adjustment that's done. Anybody to mess with, first of all, it's almost, again, I'm not going to say impossible, but very difficult to mess with that blower door that's feeding into the computer that's generating the report. Can it be done? I guess anything can be done, but for him to lose the license, again, wherever it's issued, he's not going to be able to do it anymore, anywhere, anytime. So, you know, that's...
So there is a deterrent.
Absolutely. That's, you know, again,
now,
he doesn't really gain much. I mean, you know, doing the work, is he not going to do the work? And that's where I think you're worried about him not doing the work. Well, the computer's going
to
say...
No, I'm not worried about not doing the work. Look, right now I have multiple people close to me, some related, some not, that are in small claims court with contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hears stories about contractors. Mm-hmm. I have rental properties mm-hmm. and whatnot. I deal with contractors. When I find a good one, I try to keep them around.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get the best of people. I mean, what about the scenario where somebody comes in and they see the low-hanging fruit? They're in a house... They're going to charge. What about just getting the best dime for your tax dollar? And that's, they look around, they see the low-hanging fruit, they do the bare minimum, they lower it a couple of points, they're on their way, they collected a lot more money than they deserve. We're only talking about, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars, so there's already a very few amount of people in the whole county that are going to be end up getting this. There will be a longer list of people that don't. And then we have all these different levels of oversight that doesn't really turn out to be all that much oversight. And at the end of the day, what percentage? It's like when you get the phone call from the guy asking for money on the phone for some cause, and you find out that, you know, 90% of the money is administrative costs. 10% of the money actually gets to where they're trying to help. So that's what I'm saying here is it's already so limited. By the end of the day, what are we actually going to end up doing? You know, tighten up a couple of windows for this whole...
Is there a minimum percentage of improvement? They have to improve it at least 10% or...
That is not specifically written in, but I did want to say that RUPCO is going to do their own cost evaluation.
Yeah.
So, and it has to be within 15%. The contractor's number has to be within 15% plus or minus of that number. So they're going to do a check. And then also... I think it was helpful to hear you talk through the process because one of the things that's different about the BPI process that I wanted to point out is that you have a licensed contractor who is coming in, doing the testing, and then creating the scope of work. And part of the concern, and I realize one contract may seem unusual, but they create that cost benefit, they create the checklist, they create the scale, and they essentially have to prove it to the homeowner, who is the person they're contracting with. So there was concern when I talked to the subrecipient, or the intended subrecipient, to RUPCO. there was just practicalities and concern of getting different results if you had different contractors. So you have one tester who, you know, then, you know, if the tester creates the schedule and creates the work scope and then they hand it off to somebody else, are they going to have the same level of expertise or the same, you know, look at the problems and the project and the same responsibility for those testing results? And then there just seemed to be concerns about conflict about how those two parties would work together. Here it's, we're trying to make it streamlined with just having one do the test, create the work scope, be responsible to the homeowner, have to prove it at the end with the test out, and then it's overseen by RUFCO. That is essentially the model currently, as far as I understand.
Tommy, you're the expert here.
Well, listen, that's the model I pretty much live by, too. And
do you feel comfortable with it?
I am, because, again, I've seen the test done hundreds of times. Prior to, I don't know, what it's been now 3, 4, 5 years ago, they took it out of our hands. We used to be able to do a visual. Now it's strictly third party, and I depend on that piece of paper that spits the blower door test out. If I wasn't confident enough in these guys doing the work, you know, what good is it? I mean, basically, I mean, any third-party guy walks up to me, hands me something that says it's a 3 or under, I'm accepting it. I mean, this, you know, the state has gone through and put it in our code to say you've got to trust that third-party inspector who's been certified to handle that section of my inspection process. So I just don't see the guy lying. I mean, he's going to come in, he's going to do his initial test. It's going to be a 15. He's going to lower it to a 7. The computer's going to spit it out, and that's what it is. You're going to see what you get. Again,
and excuse me.
I was just saying, if there's a standard set, I mean, that's a different story. But bottom line, yeah. If he's reducing it to save energy, he's reducing it. I don't think there's much fudging going on. Because, again, if there was, every blower door test I've gotten in the last 5 years is useless to me, because I got to believe it's a legitimate blower door test, because I can't give a certificate of occupancy without that blower door test. It used to be 7, now it's 3. If it doesn't meet the criteria and he says fail, I can't give a certificate of occupancy. Then we've got to go find what's going on. So,
and this is a finite number of dollars. It's $400,000, which is what, about 15 houses? 14 or 15 houses.
In the whole county.
And
we're spending
program.
So much time and energy for this. It's just...
Well, we just took the ARPA money.
Our taxes are so high because we got a million of these kinds of things going on.
But again, if this works well, I mean, that was part of the ARPA, you know, using the federal money. If this works well, we'll find a way to continue it, you know, within the budget. We want to see where it works. So, you know, we have an opportunity to take some ARPA money, some federal money, make it, you know, work. And if the pilot looks great, then we move forward.
And
if we think it's a dud.
Who's going to do the monitoring?
What are we going to move it up to? The RUPCO part of it, and the contractor's going to do the other part of it.
And we're going to oversee it.
And half this money?
Yes.
Because it's our program.
Again, that's what we're supposed to do.
Okay.
So we try to cut some of the administrative costs and bring it right to the houses, incentivize this.
Okay.
We don't do it.
I feel more comfortable now than when we first started this discussion. Any other questions? Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Opposed. One opposed. Any abstentions? Okay. Any new business? Don't all shout at the same time, please.
I'm wondering how we get somebody on the agenda for next month. Should I talk to Brian?
Yes, and Vicky.
Michael, thank you.
Also tell me.
You can tell Michael.
But I'm going to tell Vicky.
Any old
Brian.
Business?
Any updates on the Rail Explorers and the...
So the contract is going through legal right now. We have not seen it out. It came through DPW. I checked on it last week.
It is a contract now.
The agreement, call it a contract, call it a permit, whatever you want to call it, it's going through in the form that it originally was going through. And we've had conversations with Rail Explorers in terms of the noise study. We put them in touch. I can't recommend individuals for noise studies, but we did put them in touch with people that I know that do noise studies, have done noise studies in the past, have done noise studies for the county. Indicated to them that they're on board with doing that work. Indicated to them that we'd want to see the scope of services for that work.
and approve that scope of services so that we're comfortable with it. And then also talk to them about their implementation of other noise suppression measures. And so we're waiting for a response on that. Those other noise suppression measures. We hope that they'll be able to implement them prior to their starting the season.
Any other old business? If not, I will make a motion for adjournment.
I will second that motion.
Make it a second.
All those in favor?
All good.
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody?